Yes, my goobers are on.
Are these for us?
No, those are for Mr. Valencia. We're on air, folks. I want to welcome everybody. Thank you all for doing this. Thank you. I want to say a special thank you to Ms. Stang, who has made this work in this room so we could have a little more intimate discussion. I also want to thank her for the goodies this morning. Last week was Boss's Week, and of course we didn't have a school board meeting last week, so I thank her very much for the goodies. That was very, very nice of you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it on behalf of the board. We have a lot to cover. We did say we would start promptly at 9 a.m. So, Dr. Blanton, we're going to move right in with you for getting things done.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm Wayne Blanton, Executive Director of the Florida School Board Association. I have with me today Andrew Messina.
Good morning.
Is Director of Board Development for the School Board Association. I think most of you know Andrea. She's going to be working with us along with Bill Graham, who is a former school board member at Palm Beach for 24 years, who now works for us in our office. Both of these individuals and myself will be working with you on this superintendent search. Andrea was a school board member of Charlotte County for a number of years and sat on your side of the fence during two superintendent searches, I think, mm-hmm. during the time that she was there. And, of course, Bill Graham in Palm Beach, in his 24 years, has sat on your side of the fence numerous times with superintendent searches and everything. So what I'm going to do today is talk to you about a lot of things for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then you as a board will have to make a lot of decisions because that's what today is about. We're going to start the search, and we've got to do a lot of different things, and I'll talk to you about those in just a minute. But I don't need to tell a school board that the most important decision you're going to make in the school board is getting ready to be done by you when you select a new superintendent. You've got to find someone that can work with you, that can work with your community, that can work with your teachers and your parents, the teachers' union, a lot of other different individuals. You've got to find someone that can live in the goldfish bowl of a superintendent. You've got to find someone that can represent you well out there in the public. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've got to find someone that knows as much about the education process as possible. Now, you want someone that knows school finance. You want someone that knows curriculum. You know somebody transportation. You want somebody that knows about food service. You know, all those different things that goes into education. You're not going to find that person. Superman and Superwoman are not available right at this moment. What you have to do today is establish some priorities of what you want. And when you establish those priorities of what you want, then that's what we start looking for. Are you going to get someone that, if you list 12, 15 different things that you'd like them to have, and you get someone that knows every one of them? Maybe. And then chances are maybe not. So what I'm going to do today is walk you through some things, and then you, as a board, and myself, we're going to have some discussions on a lot of different things. You've already decided to do, I'm going to skip through these real quick and then come back to them in just a moment. But you've already decided to do a national search. That is my understanding that that is what we're going to do. And the advantage of a national search is obviously you're going to get a deep pool of candidates. You will have a lot of city superintendents. You will have a lot of deputy superintendents apply. And what you will find with a national search is, first of all, you're an attractive school district. And I'll tell you, I've already had some phone calls. And I've had some phone calls from some very good-sounding candidates. I'll just tell you that right now. Now, whether they apply or not is, you know, that's different. That's up to them. But what you will find in the national search, you will get a lot of superintendents applying from out of state. You'll get a number of deputies applying. You'll get a lot of in-state. You'll get a lot of in-state candidates. Most of your in-state candidates will be deputy superintendents who are ready to be a superintendent. Because as you know, Florida has 42 elected superintendents. They're not going to apply. Or if they are, they're not planning on getting elected at the next election locally. And then you have about 27 appointed superintendents. And they're not going to apply, I don't think. On occasion, I have had an appointed superintendent in one district apply to another district. So what you're going to do, and some for Floridians that apply, you'll get a lot of deputy superintendents who are ready to be superintendent. And remember, because of the size of many of these districts,
you have, what, 16,000 students now, right? 17,000 students. A lot of your deputy superintendents or regional directors of other districts are actually overseeing an area that are larger than your school district. And I use Joe Joyner's example, who's been a great superintendent at St. John's for years. Joe was a deputy superintendent in Orange, and he was one of two regional superintendents. He had 80,000 students under Joe Joyner. So when he went up to St. John's, you know, it was he had already had experience in dealing with that kind of thing. So you're going to get a lot of qualified candidates. Now, I will tell you, there was a time in my career that we'd get 100 candidates, 125 people applying for a superintendency. That is no longer true. I would anticipate getting about 40 to 45 candidates. I did Polk recently. They got 44. I did Manatee last year. They got about 38 or 39 or 40. The last three or four searches I've done, I did Pinellas a couple of years ago. They got with Mike Grego. They got about 25, 35 applications. That's what you're going to get. Now, the quality is still great, but you just don't see as many people out there applying as you used to. Don't ask me why. I think it's part of the goldfish bowl, having to live day to day with intensive press coverage, intense pressure, those kind of things. But that's the kind of candidates you're going to get, in my opinion, what I've seen over the last five or six searches I've done the last year or two. Now, today, here's where you're going to have to start making some decisions, and we'll come back to all of this in a little while. You're going to have to make a selection date. You're going to have to talk about overlap with Dr. Adams. How much time do you think, or do you want overlap with Dr.
Adams? She's actually already made that commitment that she was hoping that she would have her last month.
Yeah.
And I should have said that.
Right. And we'll talk about that and there. Then we'll talk about, in a little while, we're going to talk about timelines, advertising, checking out the resume, visitation, those kind of things. I'll come back to this in just a minute. Then today, you're also going to have to decide these things right here. How many years of service, what kind of degree, what kind of administrative experience, size of districts, length of contract. You don't necessarily have to decide today what's in the contract, but you do need, I do want to have a discussion with you about the length of contract that most people will come to Florida or move to another district on that. Always non-controversial, salary. We're going to have to talk about salary and salary ranges and comparable fringe benefits. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then how many finalists or semifinalists do you want? It is not my call. You want 10 finalists? You want 5 finalists? You want 3 from Florida? You want 1 from Indian River? You want minorities? You want 1 female, 1 African-American, 1 from Florida? Not my call. That's a discussion we're going to have in a little while about how you want to deal with that, and I'll talk to you about dealing with the finalists in a public setting as we get there. Local input. Are you going to have some public hearings? Are you going to have any kind of committees working with you? And background on that. I do recommend at least 1 public hearing. We'll talk about that when we get there. Ah, Suzanne. Understanding the sunshine law. I'll talk to you about the sunshine law. And with our friendly press here, I'll talk about the public records law. So everybody has a full understanding of what is in your responsibilities under the sunshine law with a search, and what your responsibilities and the school system responsibilities are under the public records law. So we'll talk about that when we get there. Then we're going to have to talk about advertising, what you want out of us, talk about screenings, background checks, different visitations.
I just need you to move a foot to the right.
Okay. How's this? Okay.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine.
Thank you.
That's so nice. You didn't tell me I'm too big. You just sent me asking me to move. Okay.
No.
I am trying to lose weight, though.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we're going to talk about advertising, how it goes, the screenings you have to do, the background checks, visitations coming in here, report to the board at the end of the search. And then we'll talk about you. You do not have to establish all of this today, but there are certain interview things I've found that work, and there are certain interview things I've found that do not work, and I'll talk to you about that when we get there. Then we'll talk about how you're going to conduct your local visitation with people that come in from out of the district to see your district, because there's different things that different people want to see.
And then we'll talk about the cost of the search and expenses. And then your final selection procedure, you do not have to do that today, but that is something you'll need to talk about. Okay, is everybody ready? You've decided on national search. Selection day.
Okay. You need to, in my opinion, it takes 6 months to do a search. And if I'm Madam Chairman, I believe Dr. Adams has said her last date would be June 30th, July 1st. That's correct. So if you start your advertising, and this is all hypothetical, it's your decision to make on the things we're going through right here, right now. If you're going to have a search, it usually takes about 6 months to do. And I'm hypothetically putting some stuff before you. You would start advertising in January and February. And you would advertise through Education Week, primarily online, brochures, the kind of stuff we did 4 years ago when Fran came on board. So you would do those advertising. That advertising would start, you can start it now and everything, or you can start it and move the timelines up a little bit, or you can wait till after the first of the year. But you also understand that November 1st is right around the corner, so you lose some advertising time. In one, that Education Week only comes out once in December, and it will come out twice in November. But you also lose a week there that nobody pays attention during Thanksgiving, and you also lose 2 weeks during Christmas holidays where nothing's really going to come in. It's your decision on when you want to start. If you're comfortable with advertising in January, then you would have January and February with a cutoff date. And then at that point, when you get all your applicants in, we would start the screening. And the screening would take us to the top five or whatever you decide you're going to have. And then we would come down probably in March and give you the background on those. Yes, sir.
Well, I think last time, and which it seems like freaking yesterday we were doing this, but last time, you know, we do the same protocol. We try to get a month lag with it. Now hiring Fran was kind of a moot point, but still, that was it. That was our target date. We'll move backwards. And I think didn't we advertise once in November?
I think we did.
We had one in November, then we had again, we hit it again in January with a February March deadline to get.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
So, not that we did everything perfect, but I thought that went pretty well.
Yeah. And that works because when we get to the qualifications, on once you get to there, that's easy to do. You can, if you reach enough decisions today, and you tell me who's going to be your contact person here, the first ad for Education Week can be done in a couple of days.
I know you won't speak, Aaron, but what I was going to say is we did it so recently ago. We're not going to have to totally reinvent the wheel. We're going to update some information and got stuff.
No.
Our reference shop did this stuff.
Your brochure that we need copies of, that's not going to change much.
Yeah, exactly. It's already been updated.
So you were, what, 3 years ago we did this? Three and a half?
We did 2010. September 1st was our meeting we had just like today. It was
right.
September 1st, 2010.
So it was 4 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, so you've got a lot of stuff in place, and you can replicate that. We don't have to do all that over.
But board members have already gotten a copy of
when you decide, screen. When you decide, you know, when you start backing it up, when you decide how we want to advertise, then we'll do that. Now, when the resumes come in, we start screening them. And let's be honest, folks, you know, you have two stacks of resumes. You have the A stack and the B stack, okay, when they come in. Let's assume you get 40 applications. You're probably going to take 20 of them that do not meet your basic qualifications because people apply. And they're not necessarily going to meet everything you want. And you got A stack that may have about 20 in there out of 40 that you're going to really start checking out. And remember, between us, we're going to know well over half of the candidates that apply. You know, I'm fortunate. I have contacts in other states. Know most of the superintendents and deputy superintendents in this state. You know, so and you know school board members in every district in the state. If somebody applies from Miami-Dade or somebody applies from Hillsboro, you can pick up the phone and call those board members and talk to them, just like I can. And that's what we do. And everything. So once we establish a selection date and a time for doing this, then we're okay. The one thing that board members, we expect you to read every resume. And you'll have your two stacks also. Because I don't want to get in a situation where we come down and recommend five and Matt says, well, what's wrong with this one?
you know. In fact, in Indian River, I'll tell you an Indian River selection story. Years ago, you had five candidates that we brought in. And Dot Town, okay, she had a sixth candidate she wanted to put in. And I can't remember who all the board members were back then, but she, and everybody said, well, we're going to interview four or five. Let's bring the sixth one in. Guess who you hired? The sixth one was Gary Norris. I remember that. And Gary was from Hibbing, Minnesota, came down and stayed here, I don't know, six, seven years. But so we don't want to be in a situation where you haven't read the resumes and you're just taking total my word for it. It's us. It's not me. It's us making sure we present to you and this community the best four or five candidates that you want.
So we'll do that. Check out, and then we check out the resumes. And one of the two things in a resume that I tell people to look carefully at: gaps in employment. Gaps in employment. You know, and the other thing is how they have moved. If you see a superintendent that has a 3-year contract and a 3-year contract and a 3-year contract, only two things are happening. One, they're being bought out every 3 years or not renewed. Or if you look at it and they're in a district of 10,000, then they're in a district of 25,000, then they're in a district of 50,000, you know, they're sort of using that as a professional progression. I happen to look at a third thing in resumes, which is not necessary, but to me it is. I look at all the different groups that they are part of, the chamber, the Rotary Club, the NAACP, all these different things, because, you know, that's the spokesperson for you, and they've got to have a face out there in your community, particularly this community. I know how you operate. You know, I mean, I understand the community. I understand most of my communities in Florida. So I look at that, too, just to see if that person has a broad range in it. Doesn't mean they have to, but it can many times can give you a feel for what that person is like in the district they're at, that they're in now. And then you're going to have your visitations in and out, and we'll talk about that toward the end here when I get to that.
So, Madam Chairman, what I'd like to do right now
is go back up here. If Dr. Adams has said she likes... would like maybe 30 days, so that would be you want to make a selection by June 1st. Is that
a correct assumption?
Well, that's where my question was. Is Dr. Adams' date hard? Is it a hard date, her last day?
According to her, it is a hard date.
Okay. Because
I'm not saying that the board could not come to her with a request and that she would not, or that I can't speak for her. But she and I, when we had our discussion, it was a hard date. Her hope was that someone would be hired before the end of May, or middle of May, with the commitment that they'd be available at the beginning of June. Yes, I would prefer May 15.
So if we want 30 days overlap, it doesn't seem very really practical, because what we would like to know that the person we hire is finishing out wherever they're employed, and school isn't ending until later in June. Do you have comments on that, Dr.?
Well, your selection date, now remember, most city superintendents have a 60 to 90 day buyout clause. Okay. Selection date and starting date are two different things.
No, well, absolutely. Of course they are. I'm just addressing the starting date, which, because of the overlap.
Right.
I think May 15th is way too late to make a selection. I think it needs to be made sooner than that, because we've had the experience of negotiating the contract that was then not...
And we had to go back to choice number two.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And so that doesn't give us enough time to
notify
the two.
So that everybody in the room is clear, most superintendents have a 60 to 90 day notice clause, okay? Most deputies can generally wrap up in about 30 days and be here. They could close it down in Guilford County if they were a deputy and come over here, you know, in about 30 days. So there's some flexibility there for the time you make your actual selection. If you decide, and we can back into this in just a moment,
we can back into this simply by saying,
when do you want to make your final decision? When do you want us to bring you the five? When do you want? If you start, I understand your November selection, but if you say end of February, just pick a date. End of February is when all the advertising is over.
then as a rule, you and us need about 2 weeks to do all the background checks. That puts you about the middle of March. And then you can take your top five about the middle of March, say, okay, these are the ones we want to bring in and interview. And you can have those interviewed end of March, 1st of April. You have to coordinate four or five people getting in here. And you can make your selection in mid-April easily, still have them probably on board sometime in June. If you back it up a little bit more and say, Matt, is what you were talking about, in have the cutoff date mid-February, you can push all that back and make your selection date a little bit earlier. Just everybody follow what I just went through this for calendar-wise.
Yeah, and that, so, that makes sense. But also, you know, we have to realize that, you know, ideally you want somebody, we love somebody to start June 30th, have a nice transition period with Fran, whatever. But if we find a person we really like, and they want to be here, we negotiate, and you know what? I'm in a situation where I can't start. Hey, okay. We're not hard and fast. You've got to start here June 1st or we don't have a job for you.
No.
I mean, if they can't start till July, what if they can't start till later than that? If we find the right candidate, we're going to...
You're not going to lose your best person over a few weeks or a month.
No, that's why I asked if our date was flexible.
And I've had that where candidates have said, you know, I'm willing to come, but I can't get there till August 1st.
And
you say, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You work it out. You know, that's where you are. Tom Ritchie, we did a search, and he was ready to come to Naples, and he was superintendent of Pascagoula, Mississippi. And a month before he was ready to come, Pascagoula got hit by a huge hurricane. I know I went out there and did the interview with Tom. And he simply told us, Collier County School Board, he said, I can't leave my school district right now. And they delayed his arrival date by 4 months because it was the right thing to do.
So obviously we're going to, you know, we're going to work under assumption of best case scenario, but we're also this real world and we're going to be successful.
Yeah.
I mean, so we will have set things up to our best scenario, but obviously.
So where I'm trying to drive us now is to a timeline for advertising and a cutoff date. Everybody got your calendars? We know it's going to be 2015.
This information I ran off for you earlier, the board needs to know that the application deadline last time was February the 25th. March 10th, met with Dr. Wayne Blanton to establish the list of finalists. And then March 21st, we had six committed days to interview with finalists. So, Ms. Stang, thank you very much.
Awesome.
Hey, you know what? As Matt says, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. If you want to go with those similar dates into 2015, Madam Chairman, can you give us those again, please?
On February the 25th was the application deadline.
That's a Wednesday this coming year.
And March 10th, from 9 to noon, met with Dr. Wayne Blanton to establish a list of finalists.
That's a Tuesday this coming year, which, when do y'all ordinarily meet?
Tuesdays. And we meet almost all day on most Tuesdays. Ms. Sinchik, I haven't forgotten you. I'll get back with you just one minute. Okay. And then March 21st through April 1st, we met every day. March 21st was all day meeting with the candidates, and what our format was the board majority may change this, but our format was that we invited the community in to meet with the candidates, and board members were not there, and then we met with them individually.
The coming year, the 21st is a Saturday, but the 23rd is that Monday that will follow, and then that would take you into the first week of April, those 2 weeks, 23rd through.
And April 15th, Mr. McCain
was thrilled. Life has sucked for me more than anything's ever sucked before during those 2 years.
But you managed. It did 4 years ago, too, right?
So what was the date?
April 15th is an easy day to remember. That's
the February the 25th was the application deadline. The selection was March 10th.
And actually, 4 years ago, we did, I think originally, I'm almost positive, we had interviews like the first 2 weeks in April. We pushed it back up. For me.
We did March 21st.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let me ask you one question.
Get rid of done those interviews.
As we're looking at things.
Okay. And then I have two board members who
I need a question from somebody. I need to ask from somebody. What is your spring break dates?
April, the first week in April. It's March 31st through March 30th through April 3rd.
Okay, so spring break is there.
So why don't we do the interviews the 2 weeks before that? The 16th through the 20th and the 23rd through the 27th.
Okay, just a second. Ms. Sinchik has been waiting patiently. It was two conversations ago, but if we have someone that says, I can't start till August, who is the sitting, you know, acting chief superintendent? Who
Wayne comes down and does it.
Don't be retired then.
The board is assigned at that point.
I love Miro.
Thank you. That was just the board decides.
One, you would have to, I believe there are two choices. I don't want to speak to Dr. Allen, but you could ask her to stay another month.
Yes, you could.
You could ask her to stay another month, and she's been in a long time. Or two, if she says no, then you would have an interim. You have to appoint an interim.
Okay.
Who is sitting superintendent for that 1 month, and you could appoint one of your deputies or something like that.
Thank
so I believe in your case you have two options.
And with your original information on the original day when we had our first superintendent search workshop on that Thursday, you got that information as to the superintendents, and including in that was the different times when we had interim superintendents. And actually Dr. Adams and Linda Robertson were interim superintendent at one point.
Now, remember, board members, as we're getting there, when you start having those five candidates in, you've got to have 2 weeks and all of you are here together. And so if you're going to say the 10th or you back it up to the 3rd, which would give you a little more time to start, if what you're saying is you're going to interview the 16th, the 2 weeks prior to spring break,
I would
request that you back it up to the 3rd, is when you make your final selection.
And it's not all day, every day for 10 days.
Which month?
It's about 5
March 3rd. March 3rd.
March 3rd on final selection.
Finalist selection.
Huh?
Finalist selection.
We'll establish a final list with Dr. Blaine.
On the 3rd, I would bring you 5. 4. Whatever, you know, we...
Yes, Ms. Innes.
Okay, I have, from the previous conversation, I'm not available the 23rd of March, and I can't change it. It's something that was set last year, so I just want that to be on the record.
Again, it's not all day, all 10 days.
I know, but
we got 10 days to work in about 5 days.
Yeah.
So last time we had 6, so that doesn't mean it has to be consecutive days. Ms. Innes, it can be whatever this board, corporate, decides. Or the new board corporate decides that they're...
I'll give you the top 5 from our background. You will have read yours. We'll mutually come up with 5 on March the 3rd. Sounds great to me. Now let's start backing this thing up. Mm-hmm. So now you need your cutoff for applications.
Last time it was February 25th.
Cutoff. Was, I'm sorry, do that again.
It was February 25th.
And I'd request that from the 25th through the 3rd.
March 3rd.
That's for interviews.
Okay.
I'd request from the 25th through the 3rd does not give me enough time to do enough background calls. Mm-hmm. So if you want to back that up to, say, the 20th, which is a Friday.
That's about where we were last time.
Okay.
Years ago.
So the application deadline is the 20th. That gives me a good solid week plus Andrea and Bill.
I thought earlier you said we need a good 2 weeks to do this.
That's the interviewing.
This is to... Earlier you said we need 2 weeks to choose those top 5.
To look at the resumes.
And in a week, if we're making phone calls, that is very tight.
You're going to be making phone calls as you go along. Not everybody's going to turn in their application.
Here's what will happen.
Right.
You will receive, if you get 40 applications, most of them will come in toward the end. About half of them come in toward the end. The first 20 you already had and start doing some backgrounds. So what I usually do is I thin those out as they come in. And I'm already doing backgrounds on those. And then at 5 o'clock on the 20th, I get to work that weekend. I mean, I usually work that whole weekend making background calls. And by the way, just as an aside, you know the best time to catch people to talk to about candidates? Straight is Sunday afternoon. I mean, you know, people are working and they got jobs and you can and you need 10 minutes of somebody's time, if they're a board member or administrator in another district, get them, they'll talk to you on Sunday afternoon. Don't tell them I told you to disturb their Sunday afternoons, but if the 20th doesn't work for you, then I think we can back it up a little bit. But I'm comfortable having that next week in order to tear it up pretty good.
Okay, this is a decision because remember by then, needs to make.
Remember by then, you're going to have them narrowed down pretty good.
So you think by then we'll have most of the resumes that we're going to get?
Well, at 5 o'clock on the 20th, which would be the cutoff date, on the 23rd, with computers, it's so easy now. Used to you had to copy them and get them out there. Mm-hmm. But, boom, you'll have them all, no later than the 23rd, you'll have every resume on your computer. The press will have them. Everybody will have them. And remember, we're not the only ones checking these people out. I hope the teachers union checks them out. I hope the press checks them out. I hope you check them out. I hope Wayne Blanton checks them out, and Andrew and Bill. So they're getting hit pretty good, and we're beginning to come to closure on some things. And I tell the teachers union or anybody else, I said, if you find something that doesn't sound right, let me know. I mean, you know, every now and then you find something out that somebody will tell that person that, you know, board member will be very honest with you, and they'll be very honest with me. But if you find something out, what I usually do, and I don't know who will be your chairman in a couple of weeks, but once this starts, I deal with the chairman. And if there's something that I find out that I think you need to know, I call the chairman, and I tell the chairman, I said, I just found this out. And boom, you know, and I haven't found out many bad things over the years. But on occasion, you get one, and you have to let the board know. And I leave it to the chairman to put that out with the board. But I will tell you everything I find. I've never been sued, even though I've said some things about candidates that they were uncomfortable with. But I said, and I called and I said, I'm going to say this. Is this not correct? If it's not correct, you know, I need to know. And we've had some rumors in searches sometimes that people float up, and I try to check those
and
out.
And we did in 2007.
And you had some.
Yes, sir. We sure did.
I remember who it was,
yes,
as
sir.
A matter of fact, now that you mention it. So application deadline will be the 20th. I'm hearing you say that we will do one ad in November or two.
That's what we did last time. I just threw it out there that it seemed to work.
I'm trying.
Let the word out.
If we do them in November and then do them in January and the first week of February, that will give you 5 to 6 ads will be plenty. In the meantime, as soon as you get your brochures completed, boom, I'm sending them out, and we're going to put it online, and I'm going to start calling, if you allow me, I will start calling some candidates that have indicated to me that they might be interested. And I generally see myself not only as taking the applications, but talking to people who I believe that have asked me that they are ready to be a superintendent. I generally give them a call and say, Any rivers open? What do you think of it? And like I said, I've had a couple of calls already. I'm real comfortable. I don't know if they're going to apply or not. So
Dr.
we've got
Blanton,
the application deadline.
Dr. Blanton, I hate to interrupt you, but I think we need to decide this question that you have. I think we need, rather than just comments, we need some board consensus on that application deadline. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've only heard two people voice an opinion. We need to have a little more discussion on that.
Sure.
I think that's important.
Did
so
we say the 20th?
February
20th.
I'm
said
fine
February
with the 20th.
Yeah, okay. All right. I saw three heads shaking. We have consensus.
And that's a Friday. Yes.
The 20th is a Friday.
And then March 3rd is a Tuesday.
March 3rd is a Tuesday.
Right.
You set the date. And I'll come down the day before and be here on the 3rd.
Yeah.
That gives us a hard week of phone calls and stuff.
Yeah.
We'll 70% of our work will be done, and then the others come in, and we'll be doing those the next week. That gives me enough time. It gives you enough time.
Gives you 2 weekends. Will be.
Well, we have a small percentage that weed themselves out because they find out about sunshine law
exactly.
And they don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So, small percentage goes away for that. And then there's I remember maybe half of them that we automatically were able to take off the table because of one reason or another.
That's pile B.
Yeah.
That's pile B that you don't really call on.
Yeah.
If you're okay with those, we could easily move it up a week. If you want to go to the previous Friday is the 13th, that gives you 2 full weeks.
I think this is going to work just fine. I think that a hard week of police background research is...
Yeah. Madam Chair, is that okay?
Yes. And I apologize for interrupting you.
No problem. So we're going to place ads November, January, and one early February probably. And we'll work on that as we get there in just a little bit.
Okay, we have the former ad there, right there in front of your calendar.
I don't think a whole lot's going to change in the ad, is it?
Well, you're going to need to, the board's going to need to set some certain parameters. There are two things that we have that we're going to need to fill in the blanks.
I'll move down to job qualifications and everything in just a moment. We're getting there.
And remember, check out your resumes very closely. We have, in the past, if...
There's two options, depending. If you get to your top five and then you get to your top two, and that's generally what happens, so let's be honest. You interview five people, or out of your top five, somebody will withdraw, so now you're down to four, and generally you lose one because they're bored to make them a counteroffer or they're in another search, and you get to your top two, and you have two options.
You can go send out a visitation and go look at them.
You know, their local district. Or if you're comfortable and they're from Florida or whatever, there's you may not have to do that. That's a decision you can make at the end of the search.
Process.
I'll talk to you about this in just a minute. Now, in order to advertise, which, Madam Chair, you just mentioned, yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure because we got up to checking out resumes and visitation, but I'd like to put it in now. We have received emails of people saying that they want to be on committees for the selection, you know, citizens at large, with maybe educational backgrounds or current teachers. That we have all received, I'm sure, I know I received one and I saw one to someone else copy. Is that in this process? Do we decide if that's in the process?
Yeah, it's later on.
It's later on. All right, thanks. I'm sorry. When we said we, yeah, that's fine.
Yes, we're going to talk about that down here, if that's okay.
Sure, sure.
Madam Chair, you established your basics for Dr. Adams.
Now, I don't know if that has changed as what you want in someone. I believe
we said a doctorate preferred.
Master's required.
Master's required. Doctorate preferred. Basically. Yeah.
You said administrative experience, I think 10 years.
Can you remind me what you said about the visitation? Have we kind of skipped over it? Are we going to go back to that?
Yeah.
Or
that's a decision we'll make later in the process.
And that's not one you need to make today at all, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm asking you now, what do you consider... years of service. You want somebody that's got 5 years administrative experience, 10 years administrative experience.
Is a principal and above considered administrative? Do you want central office experience? You have to tell us when we look at the resume and yourself, what are we looking for? If somebody has 3 years of administrative experience and you said 10, they go in pile B until you get there.
We did not quantify
that in either our brochure or in that advertisement.
Do we have a copy of the job description? Because the job description has, as the top three items of the qualifications, the issue on degree, the years of experience, and then the usual clearance of criminal history records check and drug screening. So
you need to set this among yourselves so that you've got some baseline that you're looking at. As a candidate comes in, you may say, man, this is a great candidate. Gosh, they've got 1 year experience as administrator. You know, is that enough for you?
And it's also important to remember that it's just like when we're looking for a staff person for my office. We're going to have some criteria, you know, Anthony and I are going to have some criteria in our mind we're looking for, but we're not necessarily going to put that out into an ad.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's why our ads are not going to say, must have 10 years of experience, even though... you're going to be looking for somebody, you know.
Yeah. And the things we're going to do today are not the same things that you need to be addressing after November 17th, because because I'm going to be gone. I don't need to be part of that conversation. I can be part of this conversation,
yeah,
but I don't need to be part of that conversation.
Well, you know, there's boards look for different things at different times in the history of a school district. Volusia County, when I was doing a search up there at one point, they were really behind the eight ball, and they were behind the times in technology. They didn't do it. They didn't connect up right. Everything was wrong. And they said, Wayne, see if you can find somebody that really knows technology. They hired Jim Surratt, and Jim was a guru of technology. And within a couple of years, man, he had that thing going, you know. And
Manatee recently.
Yeah. And you've had people that have to pass the bond issue. And you say, bring us a superintendent that's really good with public relations, and we have to get out there and have a good relationship with the press and the community. We've got a big bond issue.
That's what Gary Norris did.
And
that's
exactly how Gary Norris got here.
That's how he got
it. You had a $45 million bond issue up at that time, if I recall correctly. And Dr. Byrne, bless him, was not having the best relationship with the press at that time. And you needed somebody that was good with those kind of things and was good public speaker. You brought in Gary Norris, and what, 14 months later, you passed the bond issue. So, you know, I don't know what Indian River needs now. I know what you needed 4 years ago, and you chose a very competent superintendent, Fred Adams, and maybe what you need now, that's your discussion. As you look at the resumes, you know, you need a PR person, you need technology, you need somebody that if you have a good relationship with NAACP and everybody, your minority community, you know, what do you need? You need to have that discussion. That's what we think we need right now. If you want to continue with a person that's very similar to Dr. Adams, that's fine too. But if there's a specific need that you need to address it among yourselves. And I don't know what it is. I do know that, for instance, you want somebody that can maintain a good relationship with charter schools, because you have a lot of charter school students, percentage-wise, in a district. Those are the kind of things. Are you going to hire somebody that has sued every charter school in their district? I don't think so. And that's not my decision. You don't have to decide that today. But I think those are the kind of things that you as a board say, okay, what are we really looking for?
So, you know, if you've got 10 years administrative experience, I believe this is important too, and I don't know if we put a lid on that in the last ad, but we, in some districts we do, yeah, here, you don't really want to have, Florida school districts are big, and you know, you have districts in West Texas that have 600 students, they have 500 students. You don't really want, you're not going to pay real close attention to a superintendent from Red Hills, Texas, that has 550 students in their district. No. So, you know, internally we need to say minimum experience in a district of at least 5,000, 8,000, 10,000, so that you don't get so many applications in these small districts around the country that you're really not going to, it's not fair to them. You're really not going to consider them.
So when we're looking at this, we had decided that we were going to do a national search. And in the past, the only place where we've had ads has been Education Week. And, you know, I was thinking if we aren't interested, for example, the New York Times has a really great section where they're looking for folks. Now, where they have ads for superintendents and so on and so forth. Now, one of the things that we talked about last time we did a search, and we didn't put it in our ad, but we talked about giving priority to people with Florida experience. And that could be a double-edged, you know, it could be a pro, but if you had someone that was really good that may not have Florida experience, you know, would we as a board consider that person, or is Florida experience a deal-breaker? But, you know, that could influence the decision of where we put ads.
And let me go to that in a little roundabout way, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Manatee County is in the biggest mess financially that I've seen a district in many, many years in Florida. Okay? I just did their search about a year and a half ago. And this is what, Claudia, I'm saying, that you need to decide what you need, you know. And they were a mess financially. There's no doubt about it. They called them before the legislature. I was at the committee meetings. They had them before the DOE and audit meetings. I was in the meetings and those kind of things. And they said, you find us somebody that knows finance. Forget all this other stuff. We've got to get ourselves out of this or nothing's going to work. They hired Rick Mills, chief financial officer from St. Paul, Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis. He came, he was their chief financial officer there. They brought him down as superintendent. Doing a great job. About got him out of that mess. So what you need many times dictates what you're going to end up with. And they, he's doing, I think he's doing a great job over there. And they said, find us that person. And so we really paid attention to the people with heavy financial backgrounds and everything. And he came out of state. As a rule, I will tell you, you get a qualified person out of state, a qualified person in state, they're the same. I'll tell you to hire an in-state person. Simply because the learning curve is, you know, FESP, the legislature, the collective bargaining, teachers unions, those kind of things. I've had a fantastic candidate from North Carolina at one point. May have been one of his search, I can't remember. She had superintendent of the year in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. No collective bargaining experience. She, you know, no collective bargaining experience. And in Florida, that's important. It, you know, you weigh all these things. So what I'm saying is those are the kind of things you look at, and we can get there and everything. But we... But the size of district thing, if you want to put in there in the ad, which I would suggest that we start maybe think about, is must have experience in a district of at least 5,000 students. That cuts out these 500 and 600 and 800. Remember, there's 15,500 students in the United States. 80% of them have less than 5,000 students. And you're not going to bring somebody in here. The few districts that have done that, they have failed. Alachua County brought a guy in from Ohio with 4,000 students, less than 4,000 students, and he was terminated in about 2 years out. The jump is just too much. It's a different world from how we operate. That would be the only change, Madam Chair, that I would suggest is that we put some kind of limit to keep those small districts out.
And Ms. Inchin, I would hate to measure leadership by a school student, but in that, in your conversation, I almost think 5,000 is too small. So, I mean, I could go either way. I mean, I would think 10,000, because with the amount of students that we have, if you're setting a minimum, but like I said, I would hate to limit leadership by the amount of students, but if we are and you have given advice, I almost think 5,000 is too small.
Okay, I don't disagree. I'm just trying to put a base on there so we eliminate those really small districts from applying.
Ms. Disney.
my comments are similar that I remember. Both searches we did not define either district size or what we meant by administrative experience. And then when we looked at the applications, if they had, the highest they had worked is as a principal, we really didn't consider them. So it is not fair to the candidates if we're not going to consider them the principals, that we should probably define that.
Yes. Ms. Menes.
Yes, I agree. I would rather see a 10,000 limit than a 5,000, because we do need that experience and it makes a difference.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is this is an aside. You know, our districts are so big geographically, when people come down here, in Polk County, how big Polk County is, super. What do you mean, some of the kids, what do you mean the school's 60 miles away?
Yes.
Yeah, the school's 60 miles away. And their schools, and reporter, when I were talking, she's had experience in New York with school systems and stuff. You know, they can drive their car in 30 minutes and be in every school in their district. Polk County, you have to drive 2 hours to go to some of their schools.
So you have a change. There is consensus. I'm reading consensus from three.
Must have experience in a district of at least
10,000.
10,000. Now, if somebody has it 9,500, we're not going to lose the best candidate, because that's, you know, you'll take a look at it. It's not a drop dead time. But that'll discourage, that'll keep those, because I have had searches where you get so many from small districts, and they're just not going to, it's not fair to them. It puts them on the line, they've applied, and you're not being honest with them. Yes, ma'am.
And I was just going to say, based on classroom size, as well as then you're more apt to have somebody in command
of more students. And with the size of our schools, that's why I would say the 10,000. And we know they have command of multiple schools as well. So if it's either no limit or that, and I just want to restate, no, either go with the no limit or put it right out there. So we're not wasting people's time.
Now, I'm going to link the contract.
I'm going to ask three questions by Kevin. First question is, what kind of school board am I walking into? Okay? That's the first question. That is always the first question. What's the school board like? Well, good school board. And boom, boom, boom. You start talking about what it is. You know, well, I've heard this about so-and-so. I try to tell them what's going on, you know. That's the first question. Second question is, what's the salary range? Okay? Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Third question, what's the length of contract? They're not going to come here for 1 year, and they're not going to come for two. I've always recommended that you have a 3-year rolling contract of some nature. That is pretty standard in Florida. And by the way, I will be sending you about 10 superintendent contracts, you know, that around Florida. So, Suzanne, and we've always done this. Give them to your attorney. Look at what the standard contract is. And most of them are pretty much the same. But with very few exceptions, they are 3-year rolling contracts. And that's and you don't have to put that in your ad, you know, but what you can say when they call you or me, say,
it is negotiable.
You know, a 3-year contract is what the board will offer and everything. And I highly recommend that. And how you roll that contract is your call. You can roll it every year, or in the first 2 years, you can set them up and roll it at the end of that second year and then roll it from that point on. That gives you the first 3 years that you can make a decision on your superintendent and everything.
And that is in the brochure, a 3-year contract and the salary range with the, which this group needs to decide today.
Yeah. And we, so are, is everybody comfortable with a 3-year, if they ask, it's going to be a 3-year contract in the brochure? Okay. Salary.
Salary.
We put out last time a salary range of 145 to 165. And we got Fran, I was the chairman then, and talking to Fran directly and also the her attorney, whatever people. You know, we had, I'll be honest with you, try to mumble so that the mic doesn't pick this up, but we had some advantages with Fran's contract.
Yeah.
Because she was here.
That's right.
We may or may not have that advantage. So we got Fran for 150 with absolutely no perks.
Yeah.
Remember, Harry's contract and had all kinds of, you know, car allowances, all this kind of stuff, and we eliminated all that. A lot of that was because of the economic situation we're in, just the timing of it, but... I just put that out for history.
Yeah.
More than anything.
I will tell you, just so that you know, this is just informational more so than actual numbers. We'll talk numbers to Matt in just a minute.
Yeah.
Generally, if you have a Floridian that you're going to make superintendent, they will want the highest salary that you can give them because they're in the Florida retirement system. And they, when they get their top five, it makes a difference in retirement. Many times you have an out-of-state person come in, they may want more in some fringe packages because they're not in the Florida retirement system. Or they may have retired here in Ohio. You get a superintendent from Ohio, for instance. They can retire there 25 years. And you can have a superintendent that's, you know, that's relatively young and come in. But they, what you generally see is your out-of-state candidates want more in fringe package. And your in-state candidates are going to try to, you know, have a high salary because of the Florida retirement system. Just what it is.
Could I add on to that, that when you were looking at the pool of candidates and some of those could possibly be assistant superintendents, you're going to find some of your, it's not going to be everybody, but some of your bigger counties, assistant superintendents are right up there with what you're going to be looking at for a salary range. Mm-hmm. So you need to be looking at other things that are trade-offs, such as buyouts of their sick days, those kinds. You have to have some kind of an incentive to have that person make that kind of...
That was with Wayne Gent last time.
That was also with Dr. McConnell.
Was for the update.
Right.
Yeah, well, he was up there.
Yeah.
Yes, he was up there.
In that search.
He was.
And so I think that, you know, you did 145, 165. That's probably still pretty close for a district this size. And when I went through the charts and everything, if you wanted to go 145 to 175 after 4 years, then that gives you a little more flexibility. That's your call. It's not mine.
Well, at this point, the overriding factor at this point on something like this is, does putting 145 to 175, assuming the board has the is willing to go to 175 at that time, does upping that salary range in a brochure, in an advertisement, does that attract more quality candidates or no? That's the only reason you do it right now.
Not much. It's not going to make, it's really not going to make that much difference.
And that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, unless you think in your experience it's going to get us a whole lot better candidates, more candidates than
No, I don't think it will. I'll answer your question. I think that what you've got is within the range of a district this size in Florida right now. I really do. And I was looking at the charts of the school superintendent's salaries and everything, over $200,000 and all. Nobody's taking a pay raise, as far as I know, as a superintendent around here for a pretty good while. So, no, it's not going to make much difference. If you stay with where you are, you're still going to get good quality candidates. And again, you're not going to lose somebody. Your top choice over a few $1,000s. Or if they say, well, you know, can I get a small annuity or something?
Or performance pay bonus or
that's
something.
All negotiable and everything. So I'm very comfortable staying where you are, if you are. So we'll stay with that one. And
so I'm seeing lots of head nods, so that's where we are.
And you don't need to decide this today.
But just be aware, as you were talking about, when you start having your discussions with your attorney, their attorney, there's going to be, particularly if they're out of state. If the out of state fringe benefit package becomes a little different than if you're hiring someone from in state.
In state is pretty, if you look at all the contracts in Florida,
you know, you have, they're virtually identical on fringe benefits. Florida retirement system, some type of insurance, they're your health plan, they may get a car allowance, and maybe an annuity. That's it.
Finalists and semifinalists.
This is not my call, it's yours. How many do you want? Where do you want them from?
And do you want a top five? Do you want certain types of minorities?
You want somebody, three of the top five from Florida? You want somebody from out of state? You want one African American? You want one Hispanic candidate? That's not my call, that's yours. And we'll deliver.
Mr. McCain.
As we go through this first, I wanted to talk because, I think last time we used a working number of five finalists, but that's a moving target. If we get six, just like with Ms. Talbert, you get seven who we're all, hey, let's bring them all seven in, fine. There's only four we want to bring in, fine. So I don't think we use five, but that's a floating number. In terms of, I would be against limiting, pointing ourselves in a corner on anything, meaning, you know, to say three out of five from and two out of state, I just think you need this amorphous five. I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're purple, green, yellow. I don't care if they're women, men, somewhere in between.
I've never had an employee to fly.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Always heard motivational.
But that's things. I just don't want to see us paint ourselves into a corner by limiting anything like that. Okay. I don't want to put anything on.
But
let me
put this up here. Yeah. I've had boards tell me we expect this, this, and this in the top five. Most boards tell me bring me five, and obviously I'm going to be. I will be sensitive, and you will be sensitive to minorities and things of that nature that meet the qualifications that you put forth.
So, Wayne, explain to me, if a board tells you they want minorities, how do you make that happen? What do you do beyond what you normally do when that is a mandate for you?
I'm on the phone a lot more. I try to get good minorities. In the Polk County service, they told me they wanted an African American. Mm-hmm. And I had some African Americans that had applied before. They weren't intending to apply for Polk. And I called them. And I said, look, you know, you're qualified or you want to take on. So that's a big district. It's 92,000. And they were in a district about 35,000, but the cutoff was 25, so, you know, it was okay. And I'm on the phone a lot, to be perfectly honest.
You know, because, you know, we might want to consider, I totally respect the idea of not putting ourselves into a box, but in the same way that in this district we are trying really hard to comply with our DSEG order, which is weak in terms of our staff, and we are being more intentional about recruiting in African American schools and finding environments where we're more likely to be in contact with qualified minority staff. And that's the key word. It's qualified. We don't want quotas. We want quality. And I would not be adverse as a board member requesting that you be aggressive in terms of trying to get minorities, but not mandating that you must bring two to me.
No, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know how the board feels about it, but I do think that that aggressiveness is something
that we're going to work out. My experience has been this. In a district this size, you will get some minority candidates. You will get very few Hispanic candidates. Now, Hispanic candidates tend to apply in Dade and Broward and Palm Beach, you know. That's just my experience has been in working with those districts that are there. Osceola, because of their heavy, you know, they have a heavy Hispanic presence there. They had, you know, that was one of their emphasis. We got some Hispanic candidates because once they realized that 52% of Osceola is now Hispanic, you know, you start putting a different spin on things to come in and work with those students. African-American candidates, you will get 5 or 6 out of 40. You'll get 5 or 6 qualified African-American candidates. And you have to go look at the size of the district and what they've been doing and those kind of things. So I believe you'll be okay in that realm, but you can never guarantee it. You just look at the 5 and bring in 5. And what I usually do is I anticipate you losing one. I'll usually come in here with 5 and maybe have, okay, these 2 alternates or an alternate saying, you know, if you lose one, you might, if you want to interview this one, fine, if not, it's there and everything. So there's a lot of ways to approach it.
This is,
well, it was kind of interesting in each search we've done that there was a natural cutoff in the candidates. We would see the, I think we had 7 or 6 that were, we had set the number as 5, but after 7 we saw a marked difference in the quality of the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So there was sort of a natural cutoff. But what I wanted to say about the minority issue is we want the best candidates. And I think the driver is, it's more important to have the driver be what our needs are in the district. So if it's turnaround, you know, people that are really good at turning schools around, for instance, we saw a number of minority candidates that was their strength because they had been given the opportunity in some of the schools that they were in the lower performing schools, to demonstrate that their ability in turning around.
And when we did the search with Dr. Locato was given the superintendency, we did have a minority candidate, and I don't know about other board members, but I remarked I did not know ethnicity of any of the candidates, and when we did our one-on-one face-to-face, it was really refreshing to hear a different perspective. You already had what you saw on paper. It's the difference between getting a book and reading it and having a book on tape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get an entirely different flavor, and it was wonderful. And the last time when we did this, Dr. Blanton, we had you and the board members all had the same candidates as finalists except for one, and we did add that 6th person because Dr. Blanton felt strongly about that, so we did expand that, if you remember, to include a 6th person.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it was on everybody's list.
Right. I will tell you, I have done, this is my 85th superintendent search.
Oh, you are old. That's one old person to another.
Hey, I've done 4 or 5 here. I mean,
it's
our
fault.
But as a rule, we have always matched up the board and mine, you know, what we come in with. As a rule, you match up pretty close most of the time. There would generally be one that you're going to have a reason for looking at them, but you should expect me to tell you why they're not there.
Right.
If I can't say, well, I just didn't like their name, I didn't like the district they're from. No, no. When you read the resume, you ask me, I should have a reason. If you think they're in your top five and mine is not, you should expect me to have a reason to tell you why I did not put that person in the top five and you did.
Well, and it's important for board members to realize also that whatever 4, 5, 6, 12, whatever people we bring in to interview, it's going to be this board's call, not yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we can take the five you bring in and say, yeah, we don't like this, and have end up with five completely different people.
Well,
that's not going to happen.
But the point that the community has to understand, only five people get to make this choice. And the top five and the top one, I don't get to vote on. Five board members are going to vote on it. That's it.
Dr. Blaine.
Andrea,
I just wanted to point out, and you'll remember there's, for example, an instance where that might occur. There was a candidate who had been a superintendent of the year in Georgia who looked really good on paper, but when he came to Florida counties to interview, I'm not going to use names, but I know you know who I'm talking about, he did not interview well at all. Nor did his wife present herself well, nor did their children that they brought with them who were screaming and running around. And so while they look good on paper, and he would continue to apply because he wanted to come back to Florida, but Dr. Blanton wouldn't put him on his list, and he'd show up in districts where board members would say, well, this guy looked really good. He was superintendent of the year.
Yeah. We're going, yep.
You know, and another thing worth mentioning is that when we had that last search, we didn't have, I mean, everybody came up with their top five or ten, you know, and then we dwindled it down, but everybody had the similar top five candidates, right, even though we didn't have the same grid that we were looking for. And I think, you know, that was, for that board, that was such a strength because we worked together and we didn't have to have all those criteria in front of us.
Yeah,
we had a sense of what we needed for the school district.
My experience has been it will happen that way nearly every time that we'll come. Stack A and Stack B folks come out real fast. And you know, every candidate that applies is not Superman or Superwoman. You'll come up with them. We'll come up with them, and we will come up with the best five that we can get for you.
Local input. The only thing I would recommend is that you have one or two public hearings to hear from your public, to let the public tell you what they expect in their next educational leader. As I said, times change, things are happening. 4 years is a lifetime in the education business. You know, 4 years of being elected school board member is a long time, you know, and a lot of things happen. So I would hope that you would have a public hearing at some point to let the public come in and talk to you. Now, you know your district and you know who to invite, but also you want anybody else that might have something to say. You know you're going to invite the chamber and the teachers union, the NAACP and different groups like that come in and talk about what they see you getting and take it from there so that you can hear those things. The second thing it does, it lets people who just want to come tell you, the general public, what they see you need. And the third thing it does, you don't get to the end of the search and somebody says, you never gave me a chance to tell you what we need. You don't, you know, hey, wait a minute, we're the Chamber of Commerce, you never ask us. Or we're the NAACP, you never ask us. Or individual citizens can't come up and say, I never had a chance to have any input into this. This is part of I'm part of this community. So I strongly suggest you have at least one public hearing for people to come in, advertise it, and let people come in and tell you what they want. And sometimes in a public hearing, you get surprised.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have that list of the people
I
who
do
were invited.
I do have the list from last time. And I also have, I can't find it right now. Oh, here it is. We also had and I just have a sample, but when we did the interviews, we had a form for community comments. And so after each of the five interviews, we had a list that was published of who was, after the six interviews, we had a list that was published when we were going to interview, the time, and so on and so forth. And there was an opportunity for people to come to one or to all or to as many as they wanted to. They gave comments, and then all the board members got a copy of all their comments. And the comments, you know, they talked about communication skills, academics and curriculum, budget experience, additional comments, and so on. So we did, I thought that was a great process
yes,
to allow that input, and we all had an opportunity to read all those comments.
And we did that with the search with Dr. LaCava.
And to Matt's point, you replicate that, and you're in very good shape with that.
Yeah. Prior to becoming a board member, I served on a committee to elect our superintendent, and we had a reception sort of thing where we were able to mingle and talk to the candidates. And then later, as a board member, being able to read the comments that came out of that same format, it was really enlightening to see how not only did the candidate respond to the community and interact with the community, but how the community received mm-hmm. that person. And when you have a community like ours, where there's a lot of involvement in our school district, both financially and volunteer wise, it's important to see how, you know, if that candidate is above those people, or if that candidate's able to just
and organizing that locally is important.
Right, and board member Simchik has not been involved in the superintendent search before, so I will, for your benefit, let you know that we do have a session that is for the community. We stay in the board office, but we also have lunch with that person somewhere throughout the community.
We don't necessarily have to this time.
Well, it's up to the board. I'm just saying, if we have lunch with them, so we have a little more informal one-on-one, quote, one-on-one. And so there's different opportunities and different venues that allowed you that kind of an interaction with the finalists that you have in. And unfortunately, I think we had one candidate last year, or one finalist we felt as though was here for a mini vacation. And I will tell you, when we did Dr. LaCava's search, we had too many people who were here to just enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Which was, you did not do that search.
I did not do that.
You did not do that search.
That's correct.
In all fairness, you did not do that search.
And another thing we did is we have the superintendent, and we don't have to do it the same way, but I know that when the acting superintendent at the time, they gave us feedback from the leadership council, and they gave us feedback from the principals in terms of what characteristics and what priorities they had. So not only do they have a chance individually to participate in the process, but there's also an opportunity to, you know,
I think replicating how you interviewed your candidates and all was a really good process for everybody. I'm going to move on.
Please.
Aha!
We're under the sunshine law. During the search, you should not be discussing your candidates with each other. If you want to have a workshop or you want to have a meeting, then you feel free to discuss the candidates. And I would suggest that from this point on, you put on your agenda superintendent search update for every regular meeting, so that if there's anything that comes up, it's there. You can just say whoever the chairman is we're dealing with, we've done the ads, we've done this out, and we're beginning to get applications or whatever it may be, so if you have an update. I, as far as the Sunshine Law, will not discuss the superintendent search with anybody except the chairman once it gets going and everything, and I deal with the chairman, and Andrea and Bill Graham will deal with the chairman and everything. We will not be discussing individually you candidates. You should not discuss candidates with each other. The public records law is important during this process, very important during this process. Your staff understands it. You need to understand it, and the fact that it's all public record. The minute it hits this office, it is public record. And with computers now, you will be sent those applications on a daily basis. I will be sent, we will get those applications in our office on a daily basis as they come in. If the public or the press or the teachers union or anybody else wants to come in and physically look at the records, you would need to have one copy here so that somebody can come in and sit down and look at them. As you get the records, I strongly recommend that you number the candidates as they come in. not alphabetically. First candidate, second candidate, third candidate. That way, if you get 1 through 10, and all of a sudden you get 20 through 30, guess what? You missed some. 11 through 19 isn't there. And so you can call and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's just a safety measure there. And we'll have that done. But if you have a question about the Sunshine Law, you can discuss it with me. I prefer you discuss it with this fine lady here about what you can or cannot do. If you have a question about public records law, you can discuss it with me. You can discuss it with your school board attorney. But you have been through this mostly, and you know it's public record. Now, I've never really had much follow-up on this and everything, but technically any notes you take and you put on the resumes is public record. So if you're going through resumes, you know, and everything, if somebody asks, I've only been asked for my notes in one search ever by someone, and they had my notes. I sent them my notes, and fortunately my writing is so bad they called me back and said, what does this say? I said, you just asked for my notes, not what it said, you know. But
we have had notes in the past that have hit the paper.
But I just want you to be aware that the public records law is very broad, and so make sure that you understand your notes and everything. Now, can you discuss the search with citizens? Absolutely. Are you going to be lobbied? Absolutely, for certain people. Can you discuss it with them? Yes. I would be very hesitant to say, that's my choice. You know, I think that you have to wait, just like any decision you make as a board member, wait to get everything in front of you, wait till you get to the point you're going to make that final decision and everything. But you can discuss it. You discuss it with people that come up and talk to you, and they are, and everything. Did I miss anything? That's
yes,
overall
sir.
On that.
That
we need. Have any questions?
Well, when you get a resume in from somebody who's assistant superintendent of Polk County, you can pick up the phone and call that person. You got
Absolutely.
A question about their resume. Sunshine doesn't go attached to that person. You can, if there's a candidate, you want to just pick up the phone and call them?
Yes. Yes, yeah. No prohibition against that.
Say, hey, there's something missing on your resume. What's the poop?
Tell me something about yourself. Or why are you applying? Or are you dissatisfied there? You know, yeah. You can ask those.
That's exactly the kind of questions you're supposed to be asking.
Yeah.
Why are you moving?
Why are you leaving?
What is your relationship with your fet? With
are you a Gator season ticket holder?
Oh,
no.
Gosh. Anyway.
You're hired.
The newspaper published our
duty.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I hear this. And this is the editorial side.
No drawing.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you hear that. Applying in the sunshine keeps the good candidates away. I disagree with that.
I do too.
My answer has always been to them, if you can't stand the heat up front, you sure can't stand
exactly
the heat when
right.
you get here. Because if you think your state is something with the Sunshine Law and the public record, you haven't seen anything like Florida. And if you can't take the heat on an application and make the top five and do a public interview, you're not going to cut it here. I mean, that's
our last superintendent search, and you're aware, I'm not going to mention names, but we had a very high quality person who was in another county and said, if you will assure me that I'm going to be one of the top five finalists, I'll apply. And I'm only speaking for myself. I don't know if they talked to anybody else, but I said, there is no way I'm going to tell you that. I would say if you, and they were an in-state person, I said, that's up to the board majority. That's not up to me.
I had the same thing in Alachua recently.
Okay.
I had somebody tell me, if you can guarantee me I'm in the top five,
I'll apply.
And they were a very high-quality candidate.
Yes.
I said, I'm not going to speak for that Alachua board.
No.
I said, would you probably at this point be in the top five when present? There's a good possibility, but that board can take you or leave you or whatever. I had four or five discussions with him. He did not apply.
But you can't guarantee those things.
Yeah.
We will start advertising in November, and we'll work. What generally happens is there's an ad that's floated around among you real quickly. If you see something you don't like or do like, then we'll go to Education Week first. Then we'll put it online to all 50 school board associations, all the superintendents associations across the country, go into some other places and get the ads out. You'll need to do a brochure, which will virtually be a duplicate
of what you're doing. I need 1,500, and you will probably need to post them. Because remember your collective bargaining contract, you probably have a provision about posting vacancies, and this is considered a vacancy. So it has to be posted locally. It has to be posted at your school, whatever your contract calls for.
You're going to get this fairly soon. It's already been updated. Yeah. Now, all new information, the only thing you just had, the deadlines. So the only thing, we're going to drop those two things in, and you can have them.
Okay, I do have a question about that.
Yes.
We don't want to change any of the section that says seeks a superintendent who, we're happy just keeping that. Because, you know, one of the things that I'm very mindful of as we seek a new superintendent is that there is something that has changed. A lot of things have changed since we did this search, but something that I think is very important that has changed is the moonshot goal.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that whoever comes here is mine. You know, we're not looking for someone who's going to come and revision what we're doing, because we are not at a place where we need that. So I do think that there needs to be a discussion about whether or not to, create that expectation.
Yes, and I hear you, but I don't want to limit. I think that's a limit, not a limit. I think that's something that we're mindful in our selection of the top five, because added to that, and the other things that have already started, would be I would hate to have somebody come in and off with their heads and all the assistant superintendents are gone. You know, and so this leadership that's been built, I would hate to see torn down from the beginning. So I don't know how you would word that in here, and then we would start wording different things. I think that I agree. I'm very mindful of that. I would want that. But there's other things that I want, too, and I'm going to be very watchful of that and how that candidate presents themselves.
Mr. McCain, let me
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we purposely did it for you. I mean, I had Peggy email me this a few weeks ago. We purposely did. These are very general.
Yeah.
Very, very, very general. Just, kind of things. And we put the moonshot moment on the front page.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sitting right there at the beginning. So, I mean, I've read through it. I think I'd be all right with it.
Yeah.
Right.
And just so for boards, you get a good feel as a consultant of what's going on locally. You have a good school system. You have good administrators and everything. I've had boards tell me, we need somebody to come in here and clean house.
Mm-hmm.
You find me somebody to come in and clean house. Now, when you find somebody like that, they're only going to last 3 years. They will never be there more than 2 or 3 years.
Right.
That's
got
a fact.
That t-shirt.
And you have to tell them, though. And I've had on occasion boards tell me that we need a house cleaning here. And you lay it on the line with your candidates. And I have never had one last more than 2.5 years. But that's what they do. That's their specialty. They move from district to district. And that's what they've got a reputation of doing.
That's what Gary Norris did. He knew he was going to be there 3 years, maybe four at the most. And came in for a specific reason.
Just so that you know, I haven't heard that. For all your staff out here, I want them to know haven't heard that.
Talk louder. Let me make a couple of clarifications for benefit of Dr. Blanton. On our ad, we're going to add a 10,000 experience. That was not on the brochure last time. It needs to be added. The other thing we need is, just as a housekeeping thing, on these bullets, we either need to have all capital letters beginning each of these bullets or no capital letters beginning each of these bullets. It's just a tidiness thing, so we need to do that.
Well,
no, they're not.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Once I adjust my glasses, it's not a lowercase letter.
No, they're all capital.
I'll use the old person card.
Okay. Yeah. I think I may be the oldest in the room today.
So we have, we're not going to compare notes or birth certificates. You're going to add under requirements. We'll be sure, Ms. Stang, to have the 10,000 required under requirements in the brochure. We have our date. I'm just trying to move forward with
our
this.
Our boss names again.
Listen, I only have a few more. Yeah. I'm not down to that.
Go ahead. Give me your hand.
What was this? February 20th. And then rather than saying interviews will be conducted on, we need that date, those days. Okay, we need the date. It's not a specific date.
I actually put that down here just right here, interview weeks. I want to make sure that I'm jumping around here just for a second, but I want to make sure everybody is clear on the 2 weeks you all need to be here together.
Right.
And if we do that cutoff, if we give you the finalist on the 3rd,
right,
then the 2 weeks you want to try to start bringing people in is the 9th and the 16th. I'm just asking.
Of
March.
Why don't we do it the 16th? And
23rd. That gives you another week.
It will help me.
Okay. That gives you a week to get them lined up.
Well, the week of the 23rd. We know that day is not going to work. But those 2 weeks.
The 16th through the 20th and the 23rd through the 27th.
That's a selfish thing for me, Wayne. The 15th is the corporate deadline. I will be...
Yeah. Well, and that gives Judy time to line up the candidates.
Yes.
And that gives her an extra week. That gives her a week and a half.
So we will change that on the brochure. I mean, we will add that on the brochure. And we will make certain that the 23rd, Ms. Jimenez, is blocked off. So that if we have 2 weeks, I cannot believe that we're going to have 9 candidates. I would think that during that 2 week period, just like Mr. Blanton said, or Dr. Blanton said, that gives you some wiggle room there.
You got a little wiggle room there.
Absolutely.
Judy, Madam Chair, I think Judy has a question.
I do have some conflict just also the 25th through the 27th of that month.
You had a question, Ms. Stang?
Yes, I was looking at what we already have on the calendar and what board members may be out of town for. You may want to take a look at that in the calendar.
Okay, let's draw a copy of the board member, the tentative, to the Tuesday. So March 16th, there's some National School Board Association on the week of the 16th. And what was the other thing that came to mind?
Business meeting?
Well, I think you can still do a candidate interview on a business meeting day.
Mm-hmm. We did that.
It only starts at 5, so we have the day.
Yeah. So I don't see a problem with that.
Yes, you're just advertising the span of the interview.
Yes. So
time,
interviews will be done. That'll be added to the brochure. Weeks of the 16th and the 23rd. All right.
You're good.
And we can in-house. We can. Nobody needs to know why we're not taking. Or they don't even need to know that we're not interviewing somebody on the 23rd.
Yeah. Right,
but I also have some conflicts on the 25th through the 27th.
Are you in town during that time?
Okay.
All right. So you can, Ms. Stang will work with the candidates and the finalists and then go from there. Okay.
You can. It's adjustable.
Yeah.
You can let them know. We'll get it adjusted.
Okay. So the 23rd, 25th, and 27th would only be for school board members, so you're not going to want to.
For my information, March the 3rd, what are your normal board meeting times?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, so if we did that afternoon?
There won't be one on the 3rd, it's the 2nd, 4th, Tuesday.
I'm sorry?
There won't be a board meeting that day.
No. Oh, the 3rd is when I come down and you'll have a special meeting for those top 5, right?
Yeah, with you.
On the 3rd.
That's a Tuesday.
Okay, I'm available. Whatever.
The 3rd is a meeting with Wayne Blanton to establish a list of finalists. What's better for you, morning or afternoon?
I'd rather go ahead and do it in the morning, but if it's okay with all of you, I'm flexible.
We met from 9 to 12 last time with you.
Okay, 9 to 12.
Are you coming the night before? Because if we're going to do it in the morning, can we do it earlier?
Earlier than 9?
Yes.
Because we usually start our... Actually, today we started at 9, and we usually start our meetings at 9:30, so we actually moved that up a half an hour.
Well, we only changed to 9:30 when I started on the board to accommodate a board member, but it used to be at 9, so...
That's
fine. 9 is fine, but as I said, if we're going to do
Are you talking about 8 o'clock in the morning?
Well, are you coming the night... Would you be coming the night before?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. I'm not driving to Tallahassee.
And that's what I'm saying. So then he's going to sit down to the line as well. So I don't see why we wouldn't...
I'm flexible.
I'll start at 8.
And be all right with me. Can you take my kids to school?
Yes. So 8 is not good.
8 o'clock?
I do 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I can... Hey, I'll be cranking at 8. I'm a morning person. And probably...
So 8 to 11 or...
Well, 8 to when we get done.
Okay. 8 to when we get done, but it generally takes about 2 hours. Yeah. But put 8 to 11 or 8 to whatever. We'll get it done.
12.
We'll get it done. And then, so I'm okay with that.
that'll be the verbal report that, that we'll be here to give you on that day. School board, you need to decide, not today, about your interviews and things of that nature. Now, I was going to say a couple things about this. One, how you're going to conduct your interviews and how long is up to you. If you want to schedule 2 hours for each candidate, have a public interview and everything. The public has the right, as you well know, to be there. Now, very sensitive to this, because I've had some of these blow up in my face. And if the public wants to ask the candidate a question, I strongly suggest that you have a procedure where they write the question out, give it to your attorney, and give it to a board member or chairman to ask the question.
I've been in some of these when
the wrong question was asked of a candidate. Are you a Baptist or Episcopalian?
Are you Gator or Seminole?
Are you?
Well, I'm going to ask that anyway.
How do you feel? This is a true story. How do you feel about the abortion issue? Folks, that ain't. So that cured Wayne, okay? That's at the point that, you know, that cured Wayne.
So the public input here should be through a set question. Let this person look at it, make sure it's okay, and then hand it to whoever.
Yeah, and we actually do have a document that we got during the search last time that, you know, talks about that, and maybe that's something that when we create our process for public input, we could put on our we can put on our website, we can create awareness.
And your good attorney will tell you what you cannot ask: age, religion, handicap, race, da 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 da. And I've been in some meetings where board members inadvertently asked some of those questions just recently in the electoral search. And the school board attorney about fell over, you know. But we got past it and everything.
So I'm very sensitive to this and everything. I want public input. You want public input.
But you have to screen those questions or you can find yourself in a bind.
And as a point of information, in the informal time that you will have, I assume, with a candidate, if you have other issues you want to talk about, such as are you will, if you have someone who's lives in Brevard County and they want to apply for the position of superintendent of Indian River County, is it a requirement that they live here? You know, that was a discussion issue when we came down to our final two.
I think it should be a requirement.
Well,
I'll just tell you that right now. Because if you're going to be recommending, tax increases or how you spend the taxpayers' money in Indian River County and you don't live in the county, I'm telling you, that blew up in Palm Beach a few years back because they found that Broward superintendent was living in Palm Beach and he was recommending some tax increases and everything. And all of a sudden they said, we don't even live, I mean, you know how it works. And
bad headlines.
And perception is reality all of a sudden. You're recommending a tax increase on the citizens of Broward and you live in Palm Beach and it blew up big time. Probably cost him his job eventually, but I highly recommend that part of your contract be that they reside in this district.
And those are some of these are logistics that we'll get into later.
I personally think it should be on the advertisement. Residents are required within 6 months of employment or residents are required within 3 months of employment. I really think that should be put out there on the application. I really feel it should. If that's going to be a drop-dead issue, I think it should be on there.
It's never been a big issue in most, but it has been an issue once or twice in Florida, mainly down the road and everything. But I think you make it very clear. I'll make it clear when I talk to them.
Okay.
They're very clear.
Well, it was with Dr. Piccolo, Dr. Piccolo was our first choice when LaCava was hired, and then we went back to the drawing board. We also went through, because we had made a selection with Dr. Piccolo, we were in negotiations, we were, you know, in the middle of all of that, and then when he said he was withdrawing, and we went to Dr. LaCava, Dr. LaCava already had set up, Dr. LaCava didn't get here until the end of August.
Yeah.
So we had an interim for
so just, I think it's part of the discussion that you have, and make sure
they know it. When you bring your candidates in, you set up the time you're going to do them, you set up your interviews, you make sure the community is involved, you make sure they see what they want to see, the high school, the middle schools, whatever. And importantly, He will see the school district.
The spouse, he or she, need to be treated very respectfully,
right.
And they need to see what they need to see. They may be a nurse, or they may be law enforcement, or they may be something else. They may work at community college. They may want to go see those things and talk to some people there, because I've had very good candidates go back and pull out because the spouse was not comfortable in the district for whatever reason. Not often, but, you know, you're interviewing, if they're married, you're interviewing them as a team, you know, and so you want to treat the spouse respectfully also, because they may not see the same things as they are. And then you set up what you and the candidate are going to be seeing.
And I would caution you on this, because you are looking at support staff that does not have the experience with doing any of the searches. Previously, we had the leadership group, the leadership council group, who actually took care of taking spouses around. We do not have, if you're looking at our assistant superintendents, I don't think you have the drill down for this community that you had before. So you're going to have to deal with that future. You're going to have to deal with that when it comes to spouses. And she had a, you had a
I just wanted to mention on the interview part, there was a time, Claudia, when you were talking about the commitment to the vision, and then somehow you entered into that conversation.
I'll reach out moment.
Okay, yeah. Well, those are some of the types of things that come out in the interviews. Because when you ask someone, for example, there was one superintendent interview where the board was trying to incorporate a more collaborative environment than a collective bargaining environment. And when they were asking the superintendent candidate about how does he work with change in the district, how does he implement change, and he kept saying, well, I, blah, blah, I, and then he would catch himself and say, I mean, we. And so sometimes in the interviews, emphasis on how do you implement a vision that's already been established in a district that the community has buy-in. How would you approach that? You can hear a whole lot from the way they answer those types of questions.
Yeah.
And let me piggyback on that also when it comes to questions, I'll get you next, Ms. Disney. But we made certain during the interview process, and I'm saying this for your benefit, Ms. MJ, during the interview process, we made certain that there were certain questions always that Mr. McCain asked of every candidate. And then after those two, three, or four questions asked of every by Ms. Disney, by Ms. Jimenez, by myself, those things were always the same. And then we asked our own individual personal agenda type questions, and it was a nice check and balance. And I think it worked very well.
I want to support Dale in the residency issue, because if you remember correctly, in our last final two,
yes,
last time, the residency came up about, was he moving here? Was the family moving here? What about the children? There's blended family issues. And he actually said to us, if that was going to be an issue, why didn't you put that up front? So I think that is important, that it's identified up front if that is an issue.
And I think that we do have consensus on that, so
we'll put it in the ad
in the brochure.
And residency in Indian River County required. I mean, that clears it up.
I work for law enforcement agencies for 29 years, and deputies have to live, and it's right there.
Residency requirement,
district residency requirement within blank amount of employment. You know, and you
3 months, six months.
Well, I think that needs to be negotiated.
But that could be on the contract.
I think that doesn't need to be negotiated.
Let's be real careful of binding ourselves so much, because if you've got somebody who's just got a family issue, some issue, say, I'm coming, I'll be there, but they can't get here for 6 months, and we've got it in writing, it must be required within three. I think it would be something, if you want to put it in writing, I would suggest wording it to give you a little more wiggle room,
yes,
like residency in the district expected. as opposed to required.
And we'll work around that.
And then that way it's out front and you can bring it up in the interview process when you think
and it can be negotiated. That's what your chairman's going
to
do.
When I talk to candidates, I'll make sure that's on the list, that, mm-hmm. you know, up front to talk to candidates and everything. Our contract with you limits our expenses to $10,000. If I recall correctly, that's it. We will not exceed that. So that's the cost of the search from our side. You will have a few costs. The brochure will be a minor cost, and you'll have to bring the candidates in. And depending on where they're from, that's the cost, and that's pretty much it. My guess is three of your top five candidates will be from Florida, so it won't be that big of an expense, and you'll probably bring some people in, a couple of candidates from out of state. So if you want to talk about the total cost of the search, I would suggest to you that it would not exceed $15,000.
And that's what we have budgeted. That was put in the budget. Yes, sir. It was already done. So you're thinking the same way we were.
And I think, Madam Chairman, that pretty well sums it up. I'll make a quick calendar observation here. I'm retiring in February. And my first retirement day, I'm driving to Vero Beach for the search. But I knew that was coming, so that's okay. That's not a problem. I can't think of anywhere I'm going to start my retirement in Vero Beach. How's that? And everything. So I'm looking forward to working with you. For our school board, I'm looking forward to working with you. Andrea and Bill, or Andrea, be with us when we come down on March the 3rd. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if you don't have anything else, I think I'm in a position to get started.
Okay, and I need to ask board members if they have anything else. Are there any other questions at this time? So much of what you need to decide needs to be decided after the organizational meeting. All those specifics, all those little T's crossed and I's dotted, you're going to not do now. But I think the things we needed, I think the information you needed here, the additions to this, and the advertisements.
I'm sorry. I'm glad I did this. I missed one thing.
I can't see around.
Yeah, final selection procedure ahead of time, not today, but ahead of time, make sure that the five board members know how they're going to move on the selection. In other words, is it somebody's going to make a motion and a second and we vote, or is it going to be by ballot and we list our top three? Maybe you have to sign the ballot. There's no secret ballots or anything like that. You know, it's however you want to do it is okay. There's no special way to do it. You can list your top three and say, and tally them, or you can just say, Matt makes a motion and somebody seconds it, and you start, you know.
The last time we did a three, I was the chairman, and we did, you listed your top three and gave it to me, so this whole room is sitting there
while you're doing the tabulation.
You're doing math.
But decide that.
No calculator. I'm a shoes off, count past 10.
Decide that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you get in the selection meeting and say, oh, how are we going to do this? Right. Have a little discussion about that ahead of time.
I also say to you that when Dr. Piccolo was selected, that was a 5-0 vote right out of the chute. When we then went to Dr. LaCava, it was first a 4-1 vote. And then someone on the prevailing side, at the request of the person who was the one, someone on the prevailing side did then go back, and they were requested to please go back for a unanimous vote. So the new superintendent was coming in with a unanimous vote at the very end.
That sometimes makes a difference in contract negotiations.
Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does.
You will have some good candidates, I can guarantee you that, and I wish you the best of luck. And
We have two more questions.
In this brochure, it states that the final selection will be made by the middle of May. Is that where it's staying, or is it going to be changed to the beginning?
Well,
the final, not the top five, but the one.
April 15th?
No, May 15th. May 15th is what's in the brochure.
That's what's in the brochure, but
we did have a conversation that we wanted to move that up, if at all possible.
And with the interviews being done earlier in March, there's no reason why you can't have
them. You will make your final selections probably prior to
April 15th.
Middle April. Because you'll have interviewed everybody in 2 weeks in March, so you can make your final choice at any point after the end of March.
Yeah.
You want to make it by the end of March? March
No, I don't want to push that. What?
No, no.
Okay.
Say,
no later than.
No yes. later than.
Yes.
Means no later than April 3rd. That gives us plenty of wiggle room. Plenty of time.
You want to bring somebody back?
You may we did bring, have to do that because we brought
sometimes you have to bring your top two back. I mean,
yeah, we did, and we brought two back.
So use up a little time there.
And then I just wanted to make a comment on the visits, you know, for future consideration. We had in the past, we have not in the past sent board members to the communities where the candidates live, mainly out of concern for the cost of it and the sunshine issue of everybody can go or not go, you know, it just was very complicated. But I know that when I've gone into the communities, because I travel so much around the state, and ask about candidates, you get a very different response than when you call on the telephone. A face-to-face conversation yields so much more information, I think, reveals information, that you don't, telephone calls, you tend to get the HR response. You know, yes, he worked here. You know, so I just wanted to recommend that you consider using those local visits.
And we have done that, and I'll just give you some examples. In the Lake County search, Larry Matz was chairman at that time, and he went and visited the candidate in Collier, and I went and visited the candidate in Orange, and we compared. And I've done where I visited a candidate and the school board attorney is going in. And, it, you know, done most of them is where the chairman or designated board member goes in and does that. It's difficult for the entire board to go. That mm-hmm. that puts you in a sunshine law position right. that you can't do. But if you want to designate, and I've done them all
if
myself.
If we get a candidate from Hawaii, I'll volunteer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now the board attorney is going to do
I was going to say the board attorney with me.
I've been all over this country doing site visits, so if
yeah,
it
so
comes to the point
to
that it's supportive,
today, but,
myself,
to
the
that.
Chairman, a designated board member, school board attorney can go in. We have a set list of questions that if you go into a district we're going to be asking anyway, and you set up an appointment where you talk to the various members of the community, and I've been in about 100 communities, I guess, or more over the years to do that. So we can, if that becomes an issue that is there, Madam Chair, the board can decide how they're going to do it, and we can work with them on that.
And as you get down to the finalists,
we'll send a law enforcement person in and out.
You'll find out if that's something you feel is important to you. And if you have a preponderance of in-state, then there may be more than one board member who'd like to go and visit those communities if they have a top two or top three that they want to.
This is your call, and you can do it, and it's not a bad idea, depending, especially if you got two candidates that you're trying to make
right
a decision on. Sometimes one candidate jumps up, and it's over. But if you like that, you might want to do it. That's what happened in Lake, for instance. They were just neck and neck, and they hired Susan Moxley out of Orange, was the deputy they hired and brought her to Lake, and she's done a great job.
Well, on behalf of the board, thank you both for being here. We're our excited
pleasure.
About this opportunity to have you lead this charge for us. And I'm sure that individual board members, over the time till we get to a final decision, will be making a few phone calls. And we're really excited. I know that you will have more than ample opportunity for our community to participate.
You will have a great pool of candidates. I can already tell by some of the calls we're getting. And once it becomes more open and everything, I think you'll have plenty of good candidates.
Would you clarify, and I might have made the wrong comment, but would you clarify, there has been some discussion about the fact that St. Lucie County is also looking for a candidate or for a superintendent, and my comments have been to the public that I would find it highly unlikely that our criteria for a superintendent and their criteria would be the same, and we would have the same finalists.
I don't think you will. I've done simultaneous searches a number of times. In fact, I had four going at one time at one point in our my career.
Well, they were talking because we're right back to
but
back.
You may have some of the same candidates and everything, but it just depends on where you are, what you're doing, and your timelines are set. I don't even know if they've set their timelines yet and what they intend to do. I do know there are some things that will happen there that will not
because it interfered with your search.
Right.
I can virtually assure you of that.
And that was my.
I'm not doing that search at this time. I don't know if we will or not, or if we will internally or whatever. But I don't think you'll have a conflict.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Very
my pleasure. It's good to see you again.
And I'm going to stomp my friend's big toe.
Yeah, you know.
For leaving.
Just her big toe?
Hi, I'm going to walk down the hall first.